Thank you, Peter, and thank you all for having us today. What would the pilgrims want us to be 400 years into the future? That's, of course, a difficult question, but it's one that they thought about. William Bradford made it a point that he said that he knew that he was but a stepping stone for those that were coming after. And he said famously, though as one candle lights a thousand, he said, so the light here kindled will kindle many. And here we are today, 400 years later, remembering what happened 400 years before us. And so what ought we to be? How can we be pilgrims in our generation? And what does it mean to be a pilgrim in 2020? We have heard all about this afternoon the various challenges that the pilgrims faced. Jeff has talked about the providence of God in that era. And God is just as much, as Brother Jeff said, God is just as much alive in His providential work today in our generation. And Peter has talked about the choices the pilgrims made. We have choices too. We also have an array of very difficult circumstances that we now face. What ought we to be? Well, when we use the word pilgrim, it conjures up a whole host of things in our minds. Plymouth Rock, turkeys, Indians. But being a pilgrim really has nothing to do with 1620. Being a pilgrim is timeless. And as the Bible uses that term, to be a pilgrim is who you are, where you're going, where you are leading your family, in whatever generation that God places you. And so we're going to do something interesting this afternoon to learn, just to take it away from 1620. We're going to go back, not 400 years, but 4,000 years, to see how God defines a pilgrim. And we're going to try a little bit to apply these character qualities, seven character qualities that every true pilgrim must have, whether he lives in 2020 BC or 1620 AD or 2020 AD in the generation in which we now live, some qualities that every pilgrim must have. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read just a few verses here on Abraham. Because although William Bradford and William Brewster and John Robinson, in a sense, even though John Robinson didn't go, he was still a pilgrim. It doesn't matter where you go, it matters what you are. And the character of a man, the decisions he makes, as Peter so well explained, how he responds to the providence of God, as Jeff said, defines what a pilgrim is. So Hebrews chapter 11, we read of the original pilgrim. The character of a true pilgrim does not change over the span of time and history. And this is not only, and I'm being a little loose with the years because Abraham was really in the 1800 BC, but just loosely, this is not only the 400th anniversary of the pilgrims of Plymouth in New England, but it's also the 4,000th anniversary of this pilgrim, Abraham and Sarah. And so to look at their character qualities and then apply them to the generation in which we live. The first thing we read of Abraham here in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. This is the great chapter where the Lord repeats of the mighty men of old by faith. And a verse of Abraham, it says in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. That's the first character quality that every true pilgrim in any generation must have, and that is obedience. The true pilgrim, and this is point number one, the true pilgrim knows that he must obey God rather than men. He obeyed, and he went out. That, of course, applied to the pilgrims in 1620. William Bradford wrote, and Peter referred to it, how the one party, he said in his journal, sought to obey the right worship of God as he has established in the Scripture without the mixture of men's inventions. The pilgrims of 1620 And the pilgrims of 1820 BC, if we want to use a more proper date for Abraham, every real pilgrim first has an allegiance to what God has commanded in His Word. And regardless of what governments around him say, the true pilgrim's first allegiance is to be ruled, as William Bradford said, in a Plymouth plantation, to be ruled by the Word of God. This was true of Abraham. When he was called, he obeyed. It was very simple. What God commanded, Abraham did. And now in 2020, we are faced with a whole array of choices in which we must decide with Abraham, with a pilgrim like Peter, who looked into the eyes of the Sanhedrin and said we ought to obey God rather than men, with William Bradford and Brewster, and every pilgrim throughout history, that we also must obey God rather than men. And we face the choice. What about you? Are you a pilgrim? Is what you do, how you live, how you think, how you dress, how you worship, is it determined by the world, by the opinion of this world system, or is it determined by the Word of God? The true pilgrim in 2020 first must obey God. That's point number one. Number two, the true pilgrim also has the character quality of courage. Let's look further at Abraham. And this is point number two. The true pilgrim is courageous. He is not afraid of the unknown. The Bible says of Abraham, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. The true pilgrim is not afraid to encounter the unknown. This was true in 1620 when William Bradford, surveying a wild wilderness from the deck of the Mayflower, looking back on it, he said, "What could they see but a desolate wilderness, full of wild beasts and wild men, and what number of them they were?" So Bradford said, "They knew not." Every pilgrim faces a set of unknown circumstances, because, of course, only God knows the future. An array of different options Peter described. Should we go to Virginia? Should we go to Guyana in South America? Where should we go? They knew not what the Western Hemisphere was, except for the brief explorations that had been made. And the same was true of Abraham. He was called to go to a place he had never seen. He lived in a land, from the book of Genesis we read, in Ur of the Chaldees, where he knew the culture, he knew the religion, he knew the customs, and God had said to go to a land which he had never seen. And Abraham was courageous. What about you? Are you a pilgrim? Again, it has nothing to do with when you live or what you have at your table at Thanksgiving dinner. It is who you are. Are you courageous? We have many things. This world is absolutely in panic as we speak. Afraid of the pandemic. Afraid of what a new administration or a continuing administration might bring. No matter what side of the aisle you are on, this world is in total fear of what? Of the unknown. Afraid of losing money. Afraid of an economic collapse. A nuclear disaster. What might happen with Iran? But we are encouraged by history, by Abraham, by the pilgrims of 1620, not to fear. Because God knows the unknown. And we must learn with courage. And this is what Bradford would have for us. This was his vision for the true pilgrims of 2020, that we might look into the future with absolute courage and face the unknown with the confidence that the Lord who led Abraham and the Lord who led the Mayflower is in control of all events. Number three, endurance. The true pilgrim is willing to endure physical and emotional hardship And that's different than courage. Courage is facing the unknown. Endurance is pressing on in spite of what you do know. The Bible says of Abraham, going on, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Now when we read dwelling in tabernacles, we think of the tabernacle in the wilderness. But this is a goat's hair tent, surrounded by pagan tribes, enduring all the hardships of the road. The true pilgrim is willing to endure in spite of hardships. Bradford, in his what we could call his passage on endurance, when he thought back on the first time the pilgrims came to the New World, he said, "Here I cannot but pause and stand half amazed at this poor people's present condition. They had no friends to entertain them, nor inns to entertain and refresh their weather-beaten bodies, nor houses, nor less towns to repair to." And so Abraham, he had no friends in the land of promise. In fact, the Bible describes how he took on five kings in battle and armed his own household servants and led them. The land of the pilgrimage is full of war, full of trouble, full of hardship. But the true pilgrim presses on. He endures in spite of it. What have you endured as a pilgrim? Does the scorn of the world make you want to give up? Every pilgrim will face scorn. The pilgrims did in Holland. Why do you dress the way you do? Why do you live the way you do? The pilgrims were endeavoring to raise their children to walk in the ways of the Lord. And in a lascivious, what Bradford calls a lascivious Dutch culture, they had to endure to do right no matter what the world said. Are you afraid of the physical hardships, of the privations of living as a Christian in this generation? What if there is an economic collapse? Is your family prepared for it? To endure the physical difficulties of that situation. Do you love, as the children of Israel did, the leeks and garlics of Egypt? Or are you willing to trust God for the manna in the wilderness? A true Christian, a true pilgrim, is willing to endure hardship. Number four, faith. Every true pilgrim must have faith. He clings to the promises of God when everything else fails around him. Of course, this whole chapter is about faith, but particularly, let's read a little bit more. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Oh, let's see, we read that verse. Verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then focusing in verse 11, a pilgrim is not just a man, it's a woman too. And Sarah is included here. There's a monument in Plymouth to the pilgrim mothers who endured so much. And the Bible here has also a pilgrim mother's monument. And it is, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. The true pilgrim clings to God's promise when every hope fails. As Bradford said, what could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and of His grace? When we face calamity, what is it that you cling to? The true pilgrim clings to the covenant promises of the Almighty. What sustains you when all else fails? When you lose your job because of a pandemic? When you lose your health? When you lose a loved one? When the task before you seems impossible? You know, God told Sarah something impossible. And in spite of all opposition, in spite of the impossibility of it, she clung to God's promise, judging him faithful. The Greek word literally says she weighed it. She weighed it and she judged God to be faithful. Number five, patience. The true pilgrim is willing to patiently labor for results that he may never enjoy. That was certainly true of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. When Abraham died, God had told him that his seed would be as the stars of heaven for multitude. And God had told him, wherever you set your foot, from the north to the south to the east and the west, it will be yours. But when Abraham died, he did not own any of it, except for a cave where he had laid his beloved Sarah. That was all. A little cave in the field of Machpelah. And the Bible describes it here. When it says in verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. That's what God had promised. But here was the reality that Abraham saw. These all died in faith. And here's the verse I want, or the phrase I want us to remember. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Every pilgrim labors this way. A true pilgrim is willing to be patient, knowing that he may never enjoy that for which he labors. That's when Bradford said that we knew that we were but stepping stones unto others for the performance of so great a work. The pilgrims never saw the comforts for which they really sought. They lived to see a little bit of the blessings of God, but many of them, think of the first governor, John Carver, who died before he saw anything except disaster. All of those that died in the first winter, who as far as they could see, the whole colony was destined for utter annihilation. And yet they continued. What about you? Have you realized, and this takes some maturity, have you realized that you may never see the full results of all that we are working for? But lighting a candle, as William Bradford said so well, lighting one candle has the potential to light 1,000 more. We often, and that's the one problem with our modern culture, we are so individualistic that we are short-sighted. If we can't get it done now, we're not willing to try. And as Robert E. Lee said, that we often see only the... Lee said, we often see only the receding ebb of what is truly an advancing tide and are thus discouraged. That's when he said famously, it is history that teaches us to hope. What about you? Are you a pilgrim? Are you willing to labor today for something that you may never enjoy? Maybe your great-great-great-grandchildren will enjoy what you are now laboring for. A true pilgrim is willing to labor anyway, knowing that he may never see the results. Number 6, determination. The true pilgrim is determined never to turn back from his purpose. We've talked about, Peter described very well, the choices the pilgrims made. But what was amazing about the pilgrims of 1620 and about Abraham is that once he had decided, he would not look back. The Bible says, going on, of these men, that they, having seen the promises afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And then verse 15, truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. They might have had opportunity to have returned. There was a chance. The road was always open that led back to Ur of the Chaldees. And it was a lot easier. The road led through the Tigris and Euphrates valleys. It was well watered. It was fruitful. Abraham lived in the deserts of Hebron. And it takes a true pilgrim to be determined never to go back. As Bradford wrote, "If they looked behind them, there was now a mighty ocean which they had passed and was a gulf separating them from all the civilized parts of the world." But as we heard in the quiz, when there was opportunity to return, when the captain of the Mayflower offered for anyone who had endured that winter to go back, not a one of those surviving colonists went back to the old world. They were determined to be pilgrims. What about you? What makes you quit? It's a good test of a man's character. What makes him quit? Do you merely have preferences? So many of us, what we call convictions, when put to the test, really turn out to be only preferences. A real conviction is something that we will never forsake. Do we look back at Sodom like Lot's wife with longing? Or rather, do we press forward with determination to what God calls the better country, the heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be our God? The true pilgrim is determined that he will not turn back in spite of every circumstance. When good men fail us, as we in the homeschool movement have seen, when good men fail, when organizations collapse, are we determined to press on for what is right no matter what? Finally, number 7, the true pilgrim, men, women, children, are men, women, and children of sacrifice. The true pilgrim is willing to sacrifice even what he holds most dear. The Bible says of Abraham, his greatest test, in verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." The true pilgrim is willing to sacrifice everything to do what he knows is right. This was true, of course, of the pilgrims in 1620. As Bradford wrote, in 2 or 3 months' time, half of their company died. Men laid in the grave, the shallow graves of Plymouth, that they had to dig at night so the Indians didn't know how many of them were dying. Imagine those graveside services. When men laid in that shallow grave, a common grave, their wives, their children, when wives laid their husbands, it was one thing to sacrifice home and occupation and livelihood, but would God require so much? They must have asked themselves that. Abraham must have asked himself that. Have I not already left Ur? Have I not already left my comforts? This is the son that you promised. Must I sacrifice even that? And you know, God said yes. And it was only when Abraham was willing to lay him down that God interceded and showed him that marvelous picture of redemption. It says of Abraham, of whom it was said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called," accounting that God was able to raise him up. The hope of the resurrection was what sustained Abraham. And the hope of the resurrection was what sustained William Bradford when his wife died. Was what sustained the pilgrims when they laid their children in the dust of Plymouth Harbor. What about you? What do you love most? Are you willing to sacrifice even that if God were to require it? If we lose our most precious loved ones, we have the hope of the resurrection too. We know not what the future may bring. We are still here meeting today. We know not what another year will bring. We don't know what 2021 will bring us. But we must determine that we will fulfill, that we will not turn back, that we will be pilgrims also in our generation, knowing that for the true pilgrim, no sacrifice is too great, because we with these men declare plainly that we seek a country where God is not afraid to be called our God, for he has prepared for us also a city. The true pilgrim is obedient, is courageous, is willing to endure, is faithful, clinging to the promise of God when all else fails. He is patient, laboring for what he may never see. He is determined never to turn back. And he is willing to sacrifice even what he holds most dear. Are you a true pilgrim? God calls us in his word to be such. The example of not only these of Hebrews 11, but the examples of all the pilgrims, not just of 1620, but all of Christian history, call on us to take up the mantle and be in our generation, no matter what the future may bring, a true pilgrim. Thank you for your time, and God bless you all.